Welcome to the Football Game Plan Radio Network, where football makes sense. This is our Draft Prospect Analysis Show. I'm your host, Chris James, and I have a great show lined up for you this week, folks. Going to be giving my final mock draft. Yes, everyone loves mock drafts. I mean, I think there's so many mock drafts that exist in the world that they're basically like lottery tickets. They're all over the place, folks. I've done a few. I'm sure other people have. And the interesting portion about mock drafts is that I don't think anyone has ever been near right. I don't know of anyone who's ever gotten, let's say, the first 15 picks correct. It's just funny. I think it's a testament to the anticipation and the support from being a fan that you have. You're so supportive of your team. You can't wait until football starts. And it starts right here where you infuse youth into an organization via the draft. And we who study these young men give you kind of an outlook as to what's going to happen. The teams would. They would love to, I believe, give you, you know, a reason to buy more season tickets. But they don't want to give up their competitive advantage against another team in their leverage position by letting you know who they're going to pick or what their outlook is in a draft. So with all that being said, I'm going to do my final mock draft, folks. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. I'm also just going to give my opinion on a couple of different things, some stuff going on in football, and just some outlooks that I have. And I'm also going to let you know kind of the landscape of how this show is going to be played for the next few months. So without further ado, we're going to jump into the landscape portion because that's the easiest thing to get to. So if you've noticed, for the last few months, we've assessed talent. I've given you, you know, some breakdowns on different players, how they stack up, what success level I think they're going to have, where I rank them. One of the things that is interesting is that at the end of the day, I have no effect or virtually no effect on the NFL draft. I have virtually none. And that's not speaking from a place of negativity. I know I have no effect on it. What I do have an effect on is the fans who listen to me, the young men who don't get the level of exposure they probably deserve, and long-term, hopefully, just my accuracy is proven. It takes a while. You know, it takes 3 years to prove 3 years' worth of drafts being correct. So, as far as the 2015 draft, my analysis, while it preps me for the assessment of the guys who may be picked, there's about 2,000 guys who are eligible for the NFL draft. There's probably anywhere from 600 to 1,000 that have any chance of getting drafted whatsoever, and probably closer to 350 that have a true chance of being drafted, where we would be surprised if they didn't go in the top 7 rounds, you know, the general consensus of who does this. What I'm going to focus more of my energy on is the guys who do get drafted, and then the guys who get picked up by organizations. And it's not because I think there's not value in the young men who don't get drafted or picked up by organizations. That's not it at all. There's just so many quality football players across this country, and people say, well, stop saying this guy's quality. No, quality is a different word from NFL Pro Bowler or NFL starter or NFL caliber player. I just think they're quality football players that may have the opportunity to contribute to an NFL team or a CFL team. So to assess all these guys, it's amazing the amount of time that I would have to put in to assess all these guys properly. You know, I can watch a highlight tape and whatnot, and that's unfortunately sometimes that's what I get. But to properly assess these guys for success, I want to absorb as much film as possible to really see, you know, How do you respond when the chips are down, or when it's not, when the ball's not coming your way? It's a big task. So what I'm going to do is I've used this prep time to roll into assessing the guys who do get drafted, and then guys that get drafted that I might not have assessed. I'm going to try to get as much film and information on them as possible that I can accurately assess it. And each week I'm going to do a different division. So I'm going to, I've been doing, you know, I think I was doing two divisions per week in the past. No, I'm going to go as in-depth as feasibly possible with some of this stuff, folks. I'm going to give you the outcome, the landscape of what your team made as a decision. My grades will be still aggressive. I think it's interesting that no one gives out an F grade ever or a D grade, because to me, it's your opinion. It doesn't mean that the team didn't do something. It meant that, in your opinion, they didn't get something done. Now, I haven't given out many. I think I gave out one F grade in my entire time, but I've given out Ds. I've given out C minuses. I have. I just think it's funny that it's taboo, and an F is pretty much a C minus, which is just hilarious to me. But anyway, so that's what I'm going to do over the summer months, really intense offerings of the guys who are drafted in the NFL. I probably won't start until the second week. The first week will just be going over the fanfare, everything like that from the NFL draft, kind of an overview, my opinions. And then after that, the second week after the draft, the second Thursday, I will be assessing, you know, 1 week the NFC West, the next week the AFC East. I will also let you know there will not be a show next week. I want you to be prepared, have fun, go out. Don't listen to little old me. Go have fun with your friends and family in the NFL draft, and really revel in what your team is trying to do to make themselves an organization that wins games. So that's just kind of what's coming up on this show in the future months. And then I want to just give some different outlooks. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on here at Football Game Plan is not only the mantra where football makes sense, but also consistency. And I will say this for all the young men who are involved in this network, whether it's Jordan Davenport, Brandon Howard, Eugene Clemens, myself, Henry Hunt, Quinn Hunter, whoever it is, whatever person is involved, Bernard Brown, we're generally pretty consistent. That doesn't mean that we're always consistent, because we're human. We're going to waver once in a while towards different things, whether it's a bias towards a team or a player that we like. We're going to be human. But what we try to do is step outside the scope and look at a situation, look at a player, look at a team, and value it for what it is. Now, our final assessment might add in some bias, but we really do try to give as much effort as possible. And over here, we really don't always agree with each other. You know, we pride ourselves on sticking to our convictions as much as feasibly possible. So you might not get all of us agreeing that a certain player or a certain team is good or this or that. The good thing is, we usually have information to back up why our point is that. And if for some reason the information doesn't play the way that you would like for it to, we're going to at least offer it so that you have a full analysis of why we're doing something. We won't just say, guy's not good. So why is he not good? Because he's not good. Or we won't just say, you know, that guy shouldn't be ranked there. Why shouldn't he be ranked there? Who should be ranked over him? We generally have backup information. We think a guy's not good. Why? Well, he's a running back that can't find a hole. That's the number one problem. I don't care how fast you can run. If you're running away from the hole, that's an issue. Well, why shouldn't he be ranked here? Well, there's three quarterbacks who I think are better, and here's why. Here are their names, and here's why I think they're better. So I'm just saying that so that people know I am proud to be part of an organization that functions that way. And it's not saying or slighting any other organization. All I can do is talk about our business and our house. So just wanted to let you all know kind of how we try to handle business over here at the Football Game Plan Radio Network and Football Game Plan entities as a whole. Just because sometimes we don't all have the opportunity to speak that voice in such clarity that is radio, vocally. You know, sometimes message can get lost, even though it's very direct and clear via message, whether it's on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or whether it's transcribed, someone else giving our opinion. If you have something that can actually be verbally taught, spoken, that has more of an impact because you can hear my inflection and what we really mean behind our words. So without further ado, folks, we're going to go ahead and jump into this mock draft that I'm doing. And this is the final version before the NFL draft. Here's some rules for my mock draft. Unlike the prior mock drafts, I do allow trades in this one. That does not mean I'm going to trade. That means I do allow trades, okay? Because I'm functioning as a GM, and as we kind of wind down to it, I can make whatever decision I would like to. These selections are based off my rankings that I have, my personal rankings, as you've heard them over the last couple of months of the show. Some of them might have changed, but they haven't deviated much from where they were because there hasn't been much football played since I've started my rankings. In fact, there's been zero. What I'm going to do, like I said, I'm going to give you that pick. I'm going to give you my reasoning as to why and my approach. But then I'm going to also tell you and offer up what the team may do for you in that draft if they stay pat. You know, if I think they're going to try to trade out, I'll let you know that. If I think they're going to, I'm going to offer it as if they stay pat in that position. Okay? And just instead of saying, oh, well, they're going to draft Trey Waynes. No, I'm going to say, hey, they're probably going to look for a corner that likes to put its hands on you and run with you. You know, some possibilities are Trey Waynes or Marcus Peters, whatever. So I'll go through it like that. So the first pick in the NFL draft is held by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now the Buccaneers, I'm lucky enough to live in this city, and I actually work very close to one Buck. In fact, if I were to do a few cartwheels, maybe a brief sprint for about 10 seconds, I would be at the door of one Buck. So we're very close to the organization. They are looking to make a splash, and they're looking to win games, which is what the thing is all about. You want to market your team well, and you want to win games. They go hand in hand. And with that being said, I'm going to pick, if I were the GM, Jameis Winston out of Florida State, quarterback, sophomore. You know, I'm willing to take a $22 million chance on a Super Bowl caliber quarterback over, and this is not meant to be offensive to Mr. Marcus Mariota, but it may sound it, to a guy who has wild card possible talent. I think that Marcus Mariota is a fine quarterback prospect. I just think Jameis Winston is the cleanest on tape that I've had the pleasure of seeing, cleaner than Andrew Luck, which people have said, come on. By no means is Jameis Winston as good as Andrew Luck is right now. And if you were to think that, you would be, and I'm just going to say it, an idiot. Andrew Luck is now a seasoned veteran going into his fourth NFL season. Andrew Luck has been to Pro Bowls. He has cleaned up the portion of his game that I had an issue with, which was intermediate passes where he missed the window and would throw late or not throw at all, and have to force the ball either deep or throw to the check down. He's cleaned that up while he's been in the NFL. Kudos to Andrew Luck. He is doing the job. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL currently. But when they came out, when he came out of Stanford and Jameis Winston coming out now, Jameis Winston is the cleanest prospect that I have at quarterback. Number two was Teddy Bridgewater, and number three was Andrew Luck. I say it all the time, and people say, whatever, man. I'm sticking to my guns. So that's our pick. As for the Bucs, the actual draft, I think they will go with Jameis Winston likely. I know I said I wasn't going to lock in on a player. The only other option for them is Mariota if they feel that the issue with Winston off the field may be a little bit too much with some of the civil issues that are going on. I just think that they're going to probably stick to their convictions, stick to their guns, and go with the guy who does have more talent and is more pro-ready at this particular point in time. The number two pick is held by the Tennessee Titans. Now, Tennessee does need help in multiple areas, and there's definitely a lot of conversation and speculation of where they should go. As we get closer to the draft, you know, I've manipulated my board, and I'm going to go with the best player available because he does fit a need, and that's Amari Cooper out of Alabama, wide receiver, junior. You know, not only is he the best player on the board, and it's not a mistake to take the best player on the board, they don't have a true X receiver. They have Justin Hunter, who to me has proven that he cannot play the X. He has proven that he works better in the slot as a big slot receiver. They have Kendall Wright, who to me, while he can work in the slot, and his size dictates that more than anything to people, I think that he's a perfect Z receiver. He works very well as a flanker, a guy who can get in and out of his breaks well, can effectively change coverage, but he doesn't operate when on the ball as well as some do. I think Cooper would balance that out and give Zach Mettenberger the opportunity to show that he is a quality young quarterback. As far as the Mariota thing and why I wouldn't pick him here, I don't support putting another young quarterback in a position when you already have one. I think Mariota and Mettenberger are what and what as far as the talent they have to offer. Mariota is obviously more mobile. Mettenberger, to me, is one of the best young arms in this game. You only replace a guy like Zach Mettenberger with a guy like the rumored trade of Phillip Rivers, who can win you games for the next 3 years or so. That is the move you would make if you were to pick a quarterback. Maybe Jameis Winston only because I think that he's that much better of a prospect, but you don't bring in a guy that's the same to do the same job. The approach I think that the Titans are going to take, I think the Titans will really look into the opportunity to trade that pick if possible, especially if they can capture a guy like Phillip Rivers. They really need to attach a name to that organization because it is currently kind of a dead organization as it stands. Wizard Hunting Company, that offensive staff and that coaching staff, they're not going to want to be shoved out. So they're going to go after the big guns if possible. I expect them to try to make a move to make that happen. If not, then they'll hitch their wagon to Mariota, but I just don't think that's a good move, not because Mariota's not talented, but because it's a lateral move with Zach Mettenberger, in my opinion. The number three pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars sitting here, and they need help in Marriott. So what do? I stick to my guns, and I change up some of the things I do. I go with the best player available on the board, and my guy I had ranked as number three overall, Vic Beasley out of Clemson, the outside linebacker, defensive end prospect. Now, I would say this. I would like to trade this pick with Mariota sitting there. I don't know what suitors would move up to the third spot because they know that Oakland's not going to take him. So some suitors would say, okay, maybe I try to make a trade with Washington. Maybe I make a trade with Oakland. It's less of a value. So I don't make it with Jacksonville, knowing that Jacksonville is kind of in a position where they can't take a quarterback anyway, even though that quarterback position to me is still not solved anyway. And if you look at Beasley, he has a lot of Von Miller-like qualities to him. That's one of the comparisons I had for him. And the same thing was said about Von Miller as far as undersized, can't play the defensive end position. I'll be honest, folks, I don't give two craps what position you can play. Can you play football? Can you do something well? Okay, you can. Oh, you can rush the passer? Get on the doggone field and rush the passer. So Vic Beasley can do that, and that's the approach that I would take. As for the team's actual approach, I really do think that the Jacksonville Jaguars here will try their best to deal this pick. They already have the quarterback attached that they wanted in Blake Bortles. Now they look at a situation where who do they acquire? Do you acquire Leonard Williams? It's not a sexy pick. Do you acquire Amari Cooper, who will likely still be there? Though it's sexy, we still have a stable of young receivers anyway, with Marquise Lee, who I think is a brilliant young receiver coming up as it is. Do we go after Randy Gregory? Well, with all the issues, do I really want to bring him to Duval County that has a serious drug problem going on in its own right? So what do I do here? If you're Jacksonville, to me, knowing that you have lots of holes to fill, you try to acquire as many picks as possible and do what you did last year, where I thought Jacksonville had a great draft throughout the draft process. I just thought Blake Bortles went a little bit higher than he should have. I value him as a good player, probably a late second to early third rounder, but not the number three overall pick. All right, the fourth overall pick in this draft is the Oakland Raiders holding him. Oakland needs a lot of help. What they did get is a guy in Derek Carr who did the job last year. And kudos, I think that he will end up being a good starting quarterback in this NFL for a little while. Would have loved to get Amari Cooper here. And, yes, there's guys like Kevin White still left on the board, even Devontae Parker. I'm going to go with the guy who gives me an edge from the edge, going with Randy Gregory out of Nebraska. This defensive end is going to fit what I want to do in Oakland. He's going to get up the field. He's going to rush the passer, something that we haven't been able to do consistently. And as far as his off-the-field issues, obviously we're going to try to test those out and make sure. But my draft is being done strictly from the football perspective. I don't have, other than maybe some media reports, I don't have a personal interview that I've done with these guys. Without having that depth of field, I can't just go off of other people's words. So I have to go with what doesn't lie to me, which is the tape. Randy Gregory gets off the ball, gets up the field, and rushes the passer very well. So I'm taking this junior out of Nebraska. Now, as far as the team's approach, I think they will pursue a wide receiver to pair with Derek Carr. Likely Amari Cooper will be there unless Jacksonville snags him at three. If he's not there, they're going to go with Kevin White. They know they're in a quality position because even if Cooper or White are taken earlier, they get the other one. For them, that's a good move from the prospect that they want to get a wide receiver, in my opinion. The number five overall pick, the Washington Redskins are sitting here, and the Redskins have their issues. They don't seem to be a backer of RG3. They don't seem to be supportive of him, other than the owner, Daniel Snyder. The coaching staff seems to really dislike him. Well, here's what I have to say about that. One of the issues with RG3 is, yes, it's RG3. I'm not going to take blame away from him. I'm going to start with blaming on him. RG3 does consistently make errors over the last year or so. I'm not going to take the pressure off of him. I'm going to say it. It seems like RG3 misses throws because of shoddy footwork. It seems like RG3, who used to make quality bucket throws down the field, because of shoddy footwork again, doesn't make those. If you're inconsistent in your footwork as a quarterback, you might as well just call it a day. Also, he takes off to run quite too often and puts himself in a bad situation because he doesn't take a slide the way he should. So that's the negative I will report on RG3. The positive is you have to remember, no matter who you are, if you're a quarterback, you expect, I don't know, some semblance of protection. And the Washington Redskins protected no one last year. Just remember this. Everyone jumped on the Kirk Cousins train because he had a good game. Then the offensive line showed their true colors and Kirk Cousins died. Okay, now he sucks. Then Colt McCoy came in. Colt to the rescue. He had a great Monday night game. And then they showed their true colors again and Colt died. Well, I think you have RG3, who I think can still be a good quarterback in the NFL, but you have to start by protecting him. And also, he's got to start by protecting himself. How do you protect a quarterback? You give him the best option possible. I'm giving him the most versatile offensive lineman in this class, my number 11 overall prospect, and that's Cameron Irvin out of FSU. He can come in and either play the center position, which is a position of need, or be shuffled down that offensive line, and he can start at any of the five positions. I would like him either at left tackle or center. I think center would be the place for him, though, and he would be the cog in the middle of this defense for a while. As far as the team's approach, look for Washington to consistently do what they've done over the last few years with that number one pick. Washington will pursue a pass rusher, whether it's Dante Fowler Jr., Randy Gregory, or whoever. They're going to be pursuing a pass rusher in this particular position, so Washington fans look out for that. Number six overall pick. The New York Jets are here. I look over and I see what do I want as far as a scheme from the offensive and defensive side as Todd Bowles. While I, at one point in the mock draft, took Marcus Mariota early on, I will not do that right now. I'm going to not hitch my wagon to Geno Smith, but I'm giving Geno, finally, the offensive line and the receiving core to actually complement his skill set. If he can't succeed now, then I know that the project is over. So I'll give him that opportunity to prove himself this year. So I'm not going to go quarterback. What I will do is give Todd Bowles what he wants, an active front and a guy who stays active. And that's Dante Fowler Jr. out of Florida. If required to play with his hand on the ground or be the focal point of a defense, I think Fowler Jr. Would not be successful. But in this scheme where all he has to do is fly up the field, there's a lot of different exotic blitzes. He can wrap. He can do different things like that. He would fit very well, and that's why I have him going here if I were the GM. As far as what the Jets really will do, I look for them to also still go edge rusher, but they'll probably go with the likes of Shane Ray or someone like that. To me, out of the two, I think that for what this defense wants to do, I think that Dante Fowler Jr. offers more of an opportunity. He won't get as many sacks as some of the other guys, but I think he'll cause more constant pressure because of his activity. The number 7 overall pick, Chicago Bears are picking here. Now, I'll make this really simple. I look at what's on the board. I look at what I lost, and I say, hey, I have to go with this guy because he fits exactly what I want. I think he'll be a better pro than he was a collegiate because of issues that he had with some of his I'll just say it. It seems like he had a certain attitude about himself at points when he wasn't getting the ball. I think he'll get the ball quite a bit in this offense, and that's Devontae Parker out of Louisville. I think he fits in very well, takes over at the X position, allows Alshon Jeffrey to stay where he is, you know, not being on the line, not having to deal with that bump press and getting off of that, just being fluid through his routes. As far as the team's approach, I don't think they're going to take too much of a different approach. I think they're really going to go after a wide receiver, whether it's Kevin White, Devontae Parker, or goodness forbid that that he slips down Amari Cooper. So look for that. I don't think Chicago's going to stray out of this position because there's three stud receivers here, and they're going to take one of them. The number 8 pick is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Atlanta is an interesting one because Atlanta does not have – Atlanta has a need. They've needed a pass rusher for years since John Abraham. But to me, the three guys that I think would help Atlanta are now gone off the board with Vic Beasley, Randy Gregory, and Dante Fowler Jr. Yes, there's Shane Ray left. Yes, there's Bud Dupree. But I don't think they're top 10 caliber picks. Just not with the what they offer currently. There's a little bit of a limit to them. So I go with what I think is the best player on the board and the guy who does fit what I want to do if I'm Dan Quinn, and that's Leonard Williams out of USC, the D tackle slash DN junior entry. I think that he's a pretty well put together prospect. You put him next to Rashid Hegman, you put him next to put him inside that defense. You can also play him when they make some rotational moves and play kind of a hybrid 3-4, he can play that 5 technique. I think that he'd be fine in the defense. Now, what I think Atlanta's approach will be is Atlanta will actually approach the following. If for some reason one of the guys they covet as far as a pass rusher is not there, Atlanta will trade down because Atlanta has no severe need other than pass rusher. And if the value's not there, Atlanta knows, hey, let's just go and take care of our situation by getting more and more talented players so we can hang with teams like the Saints in our division. Number 9, the New York Giants. Now, the Giants, there's an opportunity to select a guy who I have ranked pretty highly in Todd Gurley here, but I don't think that that's where I want to go. Again, I need to attack the front before I attack the rear. And if I brought in Todd Gurley, he'd just be injured again because there's no protection in New York. So I'm bringing in Lyle Collins, who is my top offensive tackle prospect, who can also kick over to guard if necessary, can play left tackle or left guard, in my opinion, and protect Eli Manning, and the running game will strengthen up. Now, their actual approach, I really do think that they're going to trade out of this position. Reason being is there's not a horse in this race for them. Everyone thinks they're going to draft Brandon Scherff, which they might, but I don't see them doing that. The value is just not there, in my opinion. So you trade out of it, and you can get an offensive lineman that fits later and also pick up picks. 10th pick, St. Louis Rams are sitting here, and the trigger will be pulled right here, folks. Marcus Mariota is who I'm picking with this pick. Reason being, I think Mariota is going to be a good quarterback. I said it when I talked about it. To me, his ceiling is Aaron Rodgers. His, not really floor, but his projected path is what Ryan Tannehill's doing. His floor, I think his floor, he can obviously bottom out if given opportunity to bottom out. But I think that he can be good. He's just not ready to step in without having proper training or at least having a test. So you give him every ample opportunity to succeed, but push come to shove. Sorry about that. Push come to shove. At least you have a guy who started in the NFL, played in a playoff game on your roster, and Nick Foles, who obviously to me, Nick Foles, if I were the GM, is not the future of my organization, but Nick Foles offers me the opportunity for someone to come in as a stopgap. Now, the team's approach, I really think that St. Louis would approach it by trying to get a number one wide receiver. To me, getting a number one wide receiver, to me, is useless if you don't have a number one quarterback. I just think if you don't have a quarterback that's either being paid as a top-notch quarterback so that you're currently in financial limbo, or have a young quarterback that is going to turn into something, or have a true quarterback, why would you give a backup caliber quarterback a true number one receiver to waste that receiver, especially when receivers very deep recently? So they're going to probably go with a receiver, but I don't think it's a good move for them to do. The number 11 pick, Minnesota Vikings. I went with the best player available on the board and a guy who really can come in and help us out at his own pace, and that's Todd Gurley out of Georgia, the running back. Now, yeah, AP is still on the roster technically, but I don't think he's going to be there. In fact, I think they try to deal him if possible. Yeah, Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata did a decent job last year, but they, to me, are role fillers. Backups, I think Todd Gurley is clearly the best back in this class, and the opportunity to get him and let him come along at his own pace, because I already have guys who can fill for a little bit, is great. Team's actual approach. I think that this team's actual approach will also be to pursue a wide receiver. Doesn't seem like a bad one, but at the end of the day, pursuing a wide receiver, one of the big-name wide receivers, might be something they look to do. Also, looking for a corner to play opposite of Xavier Rhodes might be something that they do. To me, you can get corner because there's corner depth a little bit later, the third round. With Todd Gurley sitting here, there's no comparable. There's a comparable at corner for a lot of the different players. There's none at the running back position for Todd Gurley. The 12th pick, the Cleveland Browns are here. I'm going with Kevin White out of West Virginia. I get someone that's explosive for my offense. And granted, I don't think White's the cleanest route runner or the best combo wide receiver. What I do value about this guy is that he gives you the opportunity. He gives you the opportunity to be successful. And what I mean by that is they have not had an explosive player on their roster in so long, it seems like, at the wide receiver position. He's explosive. Now, their actual approach, I do think that they're going to try to do something like this, where they're going to try to go after an explosive wide receiver to give whoever is going to end up being their quarterback the opportunity to be successful. 13th pick, the New Orleans Saints are picking here. If I were the GM of the Saints, I would actually take Malcolm Brown out of Texas, defensive tackle. You know, the Saints need active players up front, and Brown fits that mold. He can even play the nose for you in a pinch if necessary. The Saints don't play a true 3-4. They play this hybrid defense where they do a lot of blitzing, stunning up front. So you just need guys who can play a couple of different positions. And I think that Malcolm Brown is he's a good football player that would be active up front for him. As far as the Saints, I think that they're going to try to go after a pass rusher no matter what here early on. And that's fine, but with the best pass rushers going off the board, there's no reason to reach for guys that could be secondary, in my opinion. And I would have actually liked Cam Irving for them, but I think in this draft, Cam Irving's not on the board anymore. Neither is Lyle Collins, who might have been a look to go with. So you have to go with, in my opinion, the best player on the board that really does fit a need for you. 14th pick, the Miami Dolphins are picking here. Shaq Thompson is my selection out of Washington. Thompson is the outside linebacker / safety hybrid prospect. One of the better football players, in my opinion, in this draft class. He's in my top 10. Thompson can play multiple positions for this team, and you just want to get in good football players. To me, instead of trying to reach to go after certain positions or even going after corner, which, yes, is an area of need, but it's not something that is a true detriment, I say, you know, you do what you need to do here. And what you need to do here is get the best player available. That is Shaq Thompson. Todd Gurley might have been actually a pretty decent pickup for him as well, but he's already gone off the board. 15th pick. San Francisco 49ers are picking here, and I'm going with Denzel Perryman out of Miami, inside linebacker. This senior really can step in and do what I need him to do, which is, you know, you can say he lacks the ability to cover. I agree with you. That's not his strong suit. One thing he can do is hit. And if he's playing next to Navarro Bowman, who can cover, all you need him to do is come up and be an enforcer. Bowman will play the actual middle linebacker position, while this guy almost plays a fill linebacker that just takes care of the interior, the running game, and allows Bowman to kind of lurk around. I think it's a great marriage, especially with now Chris Borland and Patrick Willis being retired from this organization. As far as San Francisco's approach, I think that much like every other team, it seems like San Francisco is looking for a stud wide receiver. They will try to do that, or they're looking at corner. Those are the two positions that I think they're really looking for hard in this draft early on, and that's what they're going to try to do. They'll probably try to reach. You might see as many as 7 wide receivers taken in the first round because there might be some severe reaches, and it's not that. There'd just be some reaches, in my opinion. Number 16 pick, the Houston Texans. I'm going with Landon Collins out of Alabama. Safety, they need one. The reason that it's a combined fit also with value here that I have to go with. And I think that Houston will pursue someone like Landon Collins in this particular situation because he does fit a need and he probably will be lurking there around the late teens. 17th pick, the San Diego Chargers. Now, a lot of people were thinking running back Melvin Gordon, right? Not me. And it's not anything against Gordon. I actually think Gordon's a good back. He's my number 2 rated back for a reason. I think that he showed his value by having production no matter who was blocking for him. I mean, the man did rush against a Division I FBS squad for 408 yards through 3 quarters. The man did destroy an LSU defense that was the number 1 defense in the SEC, I think, for yards per game. He did destroy another SEC defense in Auburn. He did his job. But I need to protect Phillip Rivers, whoever's playing quarterback, especially if Sam Bradford gets traded here. I'm going Andres Pete out of Stanford to play my left tackle. Fluker has proven not to be effective, barely effective as a right tackle, but definitely can't play left with King Dunlap kind of being done. I go here and I take care of this. I think that that's something that can happen. I think that San Diego's going to look at probably either Melvin Gordon, if he's still on the board, give him some serious consideration, or go with an offensive lineman like Clemens or Pete or whoever is available, and I have no problem with him doing either. I just think an offensive lineman would make more sense in my current opinion. 18th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going to go with a guy who can come in and be an X receiver for me, really kind of take over the situation, and that's Jalen Strong out of Arizona State. You know, you have Alex Smith throwing the ball, and that's great that Alex Smith doesn't turn the ball over, but it's also awful that he doesn't take chances. Maybe if you keep throwing weapons at him, eventually we'll realize that Alex Smith either is going to get more aggressive or they'll get rid of him. One of the two will happen. Bring Jalen Strong in there. You pair him with Jeremy Maclin, who can now play in the slot more consistently, and get things done. As far as what I think Kansas City may do, I think they will attack the receiver position, but one of the positions that could really be attacked by them is that corner position. Look for them to go after one of those bigger corners, whether it's Josh Shaw or Eric Rowe. Kind of overpicking for both of them, but at the same point in time, that's what happens in the draft. At least it's a valuation where I have Josh Shaw as an early second rounder, and I have Eric Rowe as a late third, early fourth rounder. I would wait to get at least Eric Rowe, in my opinion, but he's probably going to go in the first round because of his size and strength and speed. Kind of a Sean Smith clone in some ways. Number 19 pick, Cleveland, picking here. Remember, they made that trip to Buffalo. I'm going with Brandon Scherff out of Iowa, strengthening that offensive line. No matter what, if we don't have a quarterback that can consistently throw the ball down the field, we're going to put weapons on the outside and offensive linemen on the inside so that those running backs, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, can get some yards going. I would try to personally trade down if I were them. In this situation, you know, the teams are looking to trade up, get whatever they need, and I think Cleveland needs to fill as much depth as possible. As far as Cleveland's approach in this, I think that Cleveland will likely look for something on the defensive interior or offensive interior, but likely the defensive interior will be something that they really give a look to. And I have no problem with that. But for me right now, I'm addressing that offensive line. The 20th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are here. And Philadelphia has a lot to take care of. You know, there's speculation of that trade. They're moving up to get Mariota. I think that they should stay pat. And I think that they should ride with Sam Bradford, as stupid as it might sound to some, instead of trying to go to get Mariota. Only if for some reason you're able to give up very little to go get him. Or when I say very little, I mean, you know, a first round, second round, and then another second round or something like that. Not three first rounds or anything crazy like that, like they're trying to say that it's going to go on. But sticking here, sticking pat, I go with Marcus Peters out of Washington. Long press corner who is really aggressive, gives Chip Kelly's defense that opportunity to play with a guy who can do that. Remember, they had Bradley Fletcher trying to do that last year. He just didn't have the physical ability. And Kerry Williams just often didn't put his mind into the game. When he did, he was a fine cover corner, actually. But when he didn't put his mind into the game, he wasn't successful. I think he'll be more successful in Seattle because they play more of a zone concept than the Eagles did, which seemed to be strictly man the entire game. As for the approach that I think the Eagles will take, I really do think they're going to try to figure out a way to get up to the number two pick or wherever they need to get Marcus Mariota. I really do feel like they're going to try to do that. So hold on, Eagles fans. It's going to be an interesting ride for you over the next couple of weeks, or next week, I should say. The number 21 pick, the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go with Alvin Bud Dupree here from Kentucky. Reason I'm doing that, and we talked about this, but one thing Cincinnati has is they have a lot of boomer bust guys. So if you can get these boomer bust guys in a rotation where it's like, look, you need to go prove yourself in each of these plays. The Carlos Dunlaps, they re-signed Michael Johnson. I'm bringing in Bud Dupree because one of the things about Bud Dupree is that he can penetrate and he seems to want to play. You know, sometimes Carlos Dunlap took plays off. It seemed like Michael Johnson, I don't know where his head is half the time. Bud Dupree gets the field. His technique is not the greatest, which is why I couldn't pick him higher. But for what this team is trying to do, get active and get up the field to mask the corner play that's pretty awful, I would rather go with an active defensive lineman than a corner who's not a clean prospect. As far as what I think Cincinnati may do, I think they're going to try to either take care of the offensive line at the tackle position or look to take care of the defensive line at the defensive tackle position, which either is not a bad approach. Just for me, I like to get pressure on the quarterback, and having Bud Dupree there and available is not a bad situation. Number 22, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going with Shane Ray out of Missouri, outside linebacker slash defensive end prospect, the junior. I don't know if it's just me, but Shane Ray screams Pittsburgh Steeler. I'm pretty sure when he was playing in Missouri, maybe it was the color scheme kind of matching a little bit, but it looked like he was wearing a Steelers jersey. Looks like that 56 should have been the Steelers. And he'll fit perfectly with what they want him to do. You know, he's a little stiff athletically, but they like that stiff linebacker. They like that Kevin Green. They like that guy who just gets up the field and won't stop doing that job. As far as what I think their approach will be in the actual draft, I think they're going to try to address their secondary. And it's something where I say, you know, I understand that there's a need back there. But to me, I think that you build up front. Like I said last week, the closer you are to the football, the more important you are to the football game. Build up front, get aggressive, then you can put those ancillary pieces, the outside guys, and that refines your team by then cleaning up the back portion and the outside exterior portions. My number 23 selection is the Detroit Lions. I'm taking Ereck Flowers out of Miami, offensive tackle, early entry junior. You know, D tackle still remains to a need that needs to be addressed, but the fit just isn't there at number 23 for me. You know, Carl Davis is a heck of a football player. To me, he doesn't fit what Detroit wants to do with their activity up front. So I'm going with an offensive lineman who can allow me to move Riley Reiff to that right tackle, more comfortable with him there than I am with him at left tackle. And I think that Detroit will try to address the offensive line position, especially the tackle position, left tackle. So look for them to do that. Whoever falls to him, if it's Andres Pete, they definitely luck out. But I have Eric Flowers going because Andres Pete's already off the board. My number 24 pick is a stretch for me, but I don't mind the stretch, and I'm going to explain why. It's Brett Huntley out of UCLA. Now, I have a strong second-round grade on him. He's about my 50th best player as far as I have him in the back half of that second round. The difference between 3 and 4 to me is a large difference. So the difference between 1 and 2 is a decent distance in quarterback. 2 and 3, an okay distance. They're kind of close. But then 3 and 4, that's a huge drop off to me. I'm not on the Bryce Pretty train. I'm not on the Garrett Grayson train, and it doesn't mean that I don't think they're good football players in college. I just don't think that they're the guys that I could really put my organization on their back. Brett Huntley, I think I could, especially with Carson Palmer still returning. Let's see if he gives me the opportunity to let Huntley figure things out. And Huntley does what I want him to do if I'm Bruce Arians. Strong from the run set, able to actually manipulate the defense not only with his legs but with his arm, the pump fakes. He can fit balls in tight spaces if necessary. I like what he's able to do, and though this valuation is a little higher, he's being picked higher than I have him valued, I think that this is the team that if he went in the first round, he fits best with. And I think that the Arizona Cardinals – in this draft, they're not going to do that. They're not going to go after a quarterback in the first round. I think they'll probably go after either offensive lineman or Melvin Gordon, who still is available on my board, by the way, in my current draft. 25th pick, the Carolina Panthers. We select T.J. Clemens out of Pittsburgh, the offensive lineman. You know, the Panthers' edge protection last season was a joke. And the offseason signees, Jonathan Martin and Michael Orr, are lackluster at best. So Clemens can come in and be an immediate starter. You have to protect Cam. And I'm not going to make excuses for Cam Newton either, because Cam Newton did have his moments last year where Cam Newton refused to assess the defense correctly. That being said, Cam Newton's refusing to assess the defense correctly was few and far between compared to Cam Newton being knocked down because his offensive line wouldn't freaking protect him. You have to protect that guy. I don't understand why you draft a guy number one overall and then proceed to gut the things that he needs the most, which are the offensive line number one, the wide receiver position number two, and even the running back position number three. Just gutting it. So if I come in and I'm the GM, I'm like, look, I think Cam Newton can be a very successful quarterback in the NFL. Why the heck won't I try to help him be that? If he fails, it's not going to be because I didn't give him the ability to succeed. So I'm going to start by protecting this young man. As far as their moves, I think they're going to probably try to do that. They might go after another pass rusher, which I think is a poor decision, only because though they're thin in that position, I think that it's more of an issue that on the offense where they need offensive line depth and talent. Number 26, the Baltimore Ravens are picking here. And as the GM, I'm going with Danny Shelton out of Washington. Nose tackle, a good two-down player for me. He's going to come in and fit great with what I'm looking to do. Definitely a guy who he's quicker than you would expect him to be at that size. And that's completely fine for me. Now, what I think they're going to do, remember, in old mocks, I had them taking Todd Gurley because I didn't know how healthy he was going to be. Todd Gurley's already off the board because he seems pretty healthy now in this mock draft. I think they're going to go after wide receiver. And to me, they're going to be making a mistake if they overselect. Here you take a guy like Shelton, lock down the defensive line, and you can take guys later on in the draft who are still effective wide receivers. But I think they're going to reach for guys, and I'm going to name guys. I think they're going to reach for a Breshad Perriman, who I think is a good athlete, but I don't think he's a top-flight receiver. Prove me wrong. I have no problem with you. Prove me wrong. But I just don't see the value in the first round for a guy who I have graded as probably like a fifth round pick, because he has not shown me anything except physical ability. Again, Darius Hayward Bay ran extremely fast. Guess where he got me? No freaking where. So I'm going to take a first round pick in the first round, not a fifth round pick in the first round, because he had an impressive pro day and combine. And now, finally, will this be where Melvin Gordon goes, the 27th pick? It actually is not. I'm going with a guy who I think would come in and be an excellent fit in this defense for what they need to do, a cog in the middle, that one tech, a guy who can really hold at the point of attack, even anchor. Carl Davis out of Iowa, defense tackle. You know, he was one of my top 15 preseason players, top 15 for 2015. And the only thing that he did wrong was he had another toe-the-line good season, but other guys were more exceptional, and I got some exposure to him. But Davis will fill a huge need for this team, and he'll be an immediate starter. Now, as for what Dallas will do in this draft, they have a lot of different things that Dallas, I think, will do. I think they try to go after D-tackle, but they might try to fill it with like a Jordan Phillips, a little early to take him for what he gets to offer to you. They'll probably try to go after corner because what's happened with Morris Claiborne. They may even try to go after defensive end because they haven't had a consistent pass rush. Well, I think that any of these are fine, but with what's on the board, the best fit to me is Carl Davis because what he has to offer. The 28th pick, the Denver Broncos are selecting here. Cedric Abui out of Texas, the offensive tackle. You know, the offense does need a tight end, and in a prior draft I had him taking Max Williams, who I do think would fit well with what they want to do. But they need protection even more than that. You know, Peyton Manning had a dead arm at the end of the season, but he also had a dead offensive line who didn't protect him well at the end of the season. Abui has the ability to play either the right or left tackle. I think that he would probably fit a little bit better on the right side, left side, and let Ryan Clady go to the right side. But it's neither here nor there. Maybe you flip him. I don't care what you do. But I think he would be a good addition to this offensive line. As far as what the Denver Broncos are looking to do, I think the Denver Broncos are kind of looking to fill in here, look for offensive line help. They know what the issue is, and they're going to try to address it. Now, the negative may be is they might reach for an athlete like a DJ Humphreys, who I don't think is a bad football player. I just think there's better football players available at that position, yet he may be a better athlete at the tackle position than some of the other guys. So at the 29th pick, I have the Indianapolis Colts, and this is where Melvin Gordon goes. Melvin Gordon is picked here out of Wisconsin. You know, a running game at Indy has been desperately needed, and Gordon can provide it. He was super productive last season, and he fits what they want to do. That's the big thing. I think that they will try to go after, if he's available, they will try to go after a Melvin Gordon-type prospect. You know, people say they're going to replace the safety, and that's fine, but I really think that more than anything, if a running back of this caliber is available, they're going to take him. 30th pick, the Green Bay Packers are picking here. I'm going with Eric Kendricks out of UCLA, inside linebacker, senior. And yes, I had Stephon Anthony rated higher, but Eric Kendrick to me fits this scheme a little better than Anthony. I want him in the 4-3 scheme consistent, not in the 3-4 or any hybrid. I think that the scheme-averse ability of Eric Kendrick and his ability to really flow in and out of the football game will be helpful in Green Bay, who has not had that middle linebacker presence in a while. As far as what Green Bay will actually do, I expect Green Bay to go after corner. It seems like a broken record, but they're going to go after corner, and I see them going after one of the guys that, to me, is not the guy, Jalen Collins. I think that they'll probably go after a guy like him. Big press corner, but I just don't see the value there. Remember, I had him ranked as a fifth-round player, early fifth, late fourth. So that's what I have going here. I have Eric Kendrick, and I think that the team itself in the actual draft will address the corner issue over anything else. The 35th pick, the New Orleans Saints have this via Seattle, and I'm going with Nate Orchard out of Utah, the outside linebacker / defensive end. The Saints get the pass rusher they desired in Orchard, one of the cleaner defensive prospects in this class. I think that he comes in and fits very nicely opposite Jimmy Gillette, does the job from the perspective of getting to the quarterback, and really holds the edge well, can play on that left side if necessary, or the right. As far as the Saints will do with this pick, I think the Saints will try to go with a pass rusher if they don't get one early on. They might also try to go with a wide receiver. Remember, the Saints do have a lot of needs, and the Saints look to make a lot of splashes in drafts like this. They probably will trade up from this pick in the actual draft, sandwich down where they end up going up to the mid-20s to go get someone like they always do. The 32nd pick, the New England Patriots are picking here, and I'm going with Trey Waynes out of Michigan State, corner, junior. You know, I'm not impressed with the additions in the secondary for the Pats, and to be honest, Malcolm Butler, may actually be the best corner currently on the roster, in my opinion, the guy who made the big play in the Super Bowl. So look for them to make a play to go after a corner. You know, there's some guys that they, you know, Byron Jones and, you know, the Eric Rowe and Jalen Collins, those guys will probably be in this area. Look, I don't think they can't play football. Well, Jones is the lowest rated one on my list out of those three corners. I don't think they can't play football. It's just at this area, the value's not there, especially when you have a guy like Trey Waynes still available. And then Buffalo didn't have a first-round pick, but their second-round pick, the 50th overall pick, I have Buffalo going with a – and it seems like every year it's a broken record, but they pick the wrong guy, in my opinion, for this position. Cinquez Golson out of Ole Miss, the corner. Buffalo has a lot of depth on defense, and offensively they need some help. Quarterback is still an area of concern because, to me, out of all of the quarterbacks, and yes, I'm going to say it, all the quarterbacks that that seem to be judged pretty harshly, out of all those, E.J. Manuel is the worst of all of them, in my opinion. I think that other guys have more upside. I think that Manuel, he does what he does. He's very average. To me, he's a more athletic version of Matt Castle. They're just very average quarterbacks, and it's odd that Matt Castle is now the other quarterback on this roster. So I don't see a quarterback that's going to be available at 50. I think Cinquez Golson, with the way if I were drafting throughout the GM, he would still be available right in this area. I would go with Cinquez Golson, a guy with ball skills who can, if necessary, you can have him play deep because he has the vertical ability to go up, the understanding, and ball skills. He attacks the ball in the air. As far as what the Buffalo Bills will do here, at this 50th pick, you know, they might go interior lineman. There's so many things that they might do, but at the end of the day, what I really think they need to do is take the best player available, and to me, it would be a guy like Cinquez Golson, who would be very helpful in this scenario. So, folks, those are my picks for the first round. This is the last mock draft. Remember, if you want to be part of the show in the future, the call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. That's the end of the show as far as the content of concerned, folks. The NFL draft is going to be an interesting entity. I advise you to play some games. Here's some suggestions. Put a Monopoly dollar just because – we don't support gambling on this show, but put a Monopoly dollar in a hat for each pick. When the pick comes up, or if you have five friends, I'll tell you how to play a game. If you have five friends, you know, you pick numbers out of a hat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's your order. So you go number. You get the first pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick, fifth pick. When it comes back to the sixth pick, start with one again, and you go in that order. You put a Monopoly dollar in the hat. And you say, okay, number one overall pick, I'm going with Jameis Winston. If you're correct, then you get to take it back. If you're wrong, it stays in till the next person who, if they get it correct, they get to take it. If not, their Monopoly dollar stays in. So you can do stuff like that. You can guess how many trades there are going to be in the first round because it seems like every year there's more and more. You can guess how many off positions that aren't taken in the first round. Is this the year where running back is going to be taken in the first round? Will there be more than seven or more of a certain position taken in the first round? So you can do a lot of that, folks. It'll be an interesting show coming up next Thursday, the NFL draft first round. Enjoy it. Support your team. Do what you need to do. We will not have a show next week. I will also be participating in some draft activities. So for the Football Game Plan Radio Network, this is Chris James signing off. Remember, you can call into the show or you can hit me up on Twitter. My handle is CJFlorida9, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Take care, folks, and have a wonderful weekend.